My fault. I turned it off. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Oh, have I ever been in trouble? I'm the wrong person to ask that question. There are two ladies that are able to answer that better than I can. I don't know. I plead the fifth. Is that the correct answer, Matt? I plead the fifth. Okay, there you go. It is amazing to see all of you here. It's nice. It's a little bit kind of bright, but I can still see y'all, and y'all look amazing. And let me tell you, kids, y'all sounded fantastic. You sounded amazing. I am sure that all of your parents, grandparents, anyone that is here, aunts, uncles, are very proud of you and what you have been able to do. I'm sure that there was a lot. There was a lot of recording. Everyone had their phones out recording. And I was recording, and then I said, wait a minute, one of the grandparents is not here, so why am I recording it? So I did a FaceTime, so they got to see it live through FaceTime, and it's amazing. So I want to say thank you, but most importantly, Ms. Liga, thank you so much for what you do and the work that you do. As I got ready for this week, I was thinking about what type of sermon, what should I preach about, what should I really say after the kids come up to preach, to sing. And then I started thinking, well, there's a lot of kids, more than usual, so maybe I shouldn't preach my long sermon, so I should prepare for something short. But then I said, but wait a minute, you know, I don't want to shortchange people, so then I just settled for an in-between sermon. That's all right? So we're going to pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us to, Father, be led in worship by your little ones. Father, our Savior made sure that the little ones were not deterred from him. And that, Father, he blessed them. He took time to allow them to say what they want to say. And while it may have seemed like nonsense to the disciples and the people around, just the way that it sounds like nonsense to us, Father, we thank you that we have a Savior that saw the value and the treasure in all the words that they were speaking. So much so that he says that all of us adults need to have the faith of them, just like them, to enter your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that as we look at your word and what your word has to say to us about our homes, Father, I pray that we will take that seriously and that we will apply it as best as we can. And that, Father, anything that we're lacking after, that your Holy Spirit may fill the rest so that our little ones may grow to have the faith that Jesus tells us adults to imitate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my stories that I always enjoy and I always find myself going back to is found in Genesis chapter 12. It's the story of Abram. His name is not Abraham yet, but his name is Abram. And does anyone know who Abram is? Yes. One of my favorite songs growing up was a simple one, and I'm pretty sure that we all know this, so I'm going to ask that all of you will sing it along with me. Principal's already saying, no, don't do that, but we're going to do it. So are you ready? Father Abraham had many and daughters. Sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just pray for the Lord. Father Abraham. Come on. Any sons? Any sons have, yes. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Father Abraham, and daughters, sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. You can sit down. We're not going to sing the whole song. But I'm glad that I had some of the kids stand up and actually do the motion, so praise God for that. But yes, Father Abraham, what makes him so special? Well, you know, if you've ever read through the book of Genesis, you will find out that Moses really hits the fast forward button. Now, kids, you will not understand a word that I'm saying right now, but adults, y'all remember the olden days when we would watch movies in the thing called VHS? And do you remember that one thing that we all like to do, but we knew that can mess up a VHS tape? Press the play button while either rewinding it or fast-forwarding so we can see everything speed up really fast. Y'all, come on, this confession time. We all enjoyed doing that. We knew that it was bad for it, but we all enjoyed doing that. Well, it almost seems like Moses does that right from Genesis 1 through Genesis 11. He just kind of presses the play button and presses the fast forward button, and we see everything happening in a speed and fast forward, like times 10 speed. And then he gets to Abraham, because Abraham is the guy that Moses wants us to know about. You see, Abraham, there's something about Abraham that God wants us to learn about. That's the guy. This is the man that you need to know who he is. And by the way, it's not just in Genesis. Abraham is important in Exodus and in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomies, and all through the Bible. So much so that Abraham becomes the central illustration for Paul's book of Romans. The whole argument, the whole book of Romans. Anyone love the book of Romans here? And all my theologians that love to, you know, talk about righteousness by faith and sanctification and all of those things, right? The whole argument that Paul makes is based on Abraham. Abraham is the guy. This is the guy that you need to understand, because there's something that Abraham did in his life that imitated, or should I say, created the thing that we should all imitate so that we can be like Christ. There's been other examples. Yes, there's been the Davids, there's been the Moses, the Samuels, the Elijahs, the Elishas, John the Baptist, right? You have your Isaiahs, Jeremiahs, Daniels. You have all of those. But the Bible was focused on Abraham's faith. Now, let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, and we're going to read here the very beginning of his story, essentially. He is told to leave a foreign land. Well, not foreign land, but, you know, it was his home place. And anyone here, any immigrants here that have actually left wherever it is, that you're not naturally from here, you come from somewhere else, right? We got some of us. I'm not from the United States. I'm from another place. And I just remember when I was 18, I took a plane and I moved over from Puerto Rico over here. And all of a sudden, I'm in this foreign place. I had no idea what it was. And I didn't understand what it meant to live here. But I understood that this was for the betterment of my life. Abram was told, hey, you need to go to this foreign land for the betterment of your life. So in Genesis 12, this is what God says to Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a what? A great nation, and I will bless you and make your name what? Great, so that you will be a? Wow, does anyone want to be a blessing for the world? This is the reason why the whole Bible spends time talking about Abram. Abram really was a blessing to the world. Now we fast forward. Let's turn to Genesis 18. We're going to fast forward now. And this is where we're going to stay at. We're going to jump a little bit, but really essentially Genesis 18. Abraham, at this point in his life, lived a life so connected to God. And there's so many sermons I can branch off of this, so anyone that knows, that has done preaching, should be impressed at my restraint to be disciplined in this right now. But Abraham was so close to God. He really, truly was the friend of God. That before God decided to exact judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah, before he decided to destroy a whole nation, he had to talk to Abraham first. Now, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, it was not in my understanding that God would defer such a decision to me. To such a point that Paul even says, do you not know that we will judge whom? Angels. You see, God wants a relationship with you and me to such a degree that even though he's the mighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he will say, hey, Marley, I need to talk to you first. What do you think of? This is the great God that we are proclaiming and that we preach, that we hold as a part of our faith. This is the God we worship. That he will condescend himself to such a point where he says, I need to talk first with my friend. I love Abraham, and I need to hear what he has to say. And God has a whole conversation with Abraham in Genesis 18. And we're going to fast forward in Genesis 18. Skip down to verse 17. Because I'm not making this up. Verse 17 is a fantastic verse here. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? How important was Abraham to God? We all have a best friend, right? We all have that person that we know that before we do something, before we make a decision, we got to tell this person. Anyone, you got that person? You know that? It can be your spouse. It could be perhaps a child, a sibling, or whatever it is. We all have someone. God created such a bond and friendship with Abraham that he thought that it was necessary to have a conversation with Abraham before he exacted a judgment to destroy a whole people group. And notice what made Abraham qualify to be in that place. Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God already knew the blessing that Abraham was, and here is the recipe. Verse 19, and please listen carefully. God says, for I have chosen him, that he, what? What's the word? That he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what two things? Righteousness and justice. So that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Notice that what separated Abraham from anyone else was one simple thing. God knew that Abraham not only believed, but he took ownership of his household. God saw the devotion that Abraham had for his family. And he recognized that it was his family that was first in his life. Genesis 15 tells us, verse 6, it tells us that Abraham believed the Lord and God reckoned that as righteousness. Why? Because Abraham believed that God will provide the household he was lacking. Abraham valued and loved his household above all things. And God knew that he would be a good steward of his house. And therefore, because of Abraham's dedication, commitment, and I will even dare say zeal for his house, for his family, for his children, for all the other members in the family, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, anyone within his gate, the fact that he took ownership of them, that he took responsibility for them, that he made sure that they would do righteousness and they would do justice, God said, "This is my friend." You see, Abraham was imitating what God has always wanted to do with this family. God wants to be the full provider. God wants to be the sustainer. God wants to be the protector. He wants to be the healer. He wants to be all things for you. But because of sin, we have chosen someone else. So God in his mercy now says, "I will provide for you a father. I will provide for you a mother that will care and show this world what it really means that I want to do for them." You see, God was intentional and he wanted to make sure that we all understand that what makes him glad, what makes him, or let's put it this way, what makes us receive the title friend of God is by becoming the leaders that God wants us to be in our house. Our houses are our first priority. God has placed you and he has given you beautiful, wonderful children so that you can become that example. God has placed you in a context around other people that have children so that you can also become a blessing to them. God has created this community. I'm not talking about just Triad Adventist Fellowship, not just TAF. I'm not talking just about TCA, Tri-City Christian Academy. I'm talking about this community. I'm talking about five churches that have come together historically to actually support a school. We're talking about the Kernersville Church. We're talking about the Winston-Salem Church. We're talking about the Greensboro Church. We're talking about Triad Adventist Fellowship. Talking about the Winston-Salem Church. We're talking about this entire community coming together to take ownership of the children's lives. Because we all want one thing. And it's to be the friend of God. And if that is our desire, if that is our direction, if that's what we want, then we need to take ownership of our. We need to actually say that the future of our children matter because they are the blessing that God has in store for this world. I skipped High Point. I repeated Winston-Salem. All of a sudden, it just dawned on me. Yes, High Point, Winston-Salem, Triad Adventist Fellowship, Kernersville, Greensboro. There you go. I knew I was missing one church, and I thought it was Winston. High Point, I apologize. Please, forgive me. Tell Pastor Sermon that I did not do it intentionally. This community that we have here, God ordained it for this special purpose so that we may train our children, that we can teach them how to act righteously, how to do justice. And I know it takes a lot of effort, but I want to tell you that it has to start in our houses. I know that we all want to make it to heaven. We all want to walk on those streets of gold and pass a sea of glass. I know that we all want to whatever it is, whether it be sing with a choir of the angels or be able to have wings so we can fly, whatever it is that you want to have in the other side of eternity, I have no idea. I just simply want to sit underneath a mango tree and just eat mangoes. That's all I want to do. That's where you will find me on the other side of eternity, just underneath a mango tree, just eating mangoes. That's all I'm going to do, okay? So if y'all want to join me in that, that's great. If you want to do something else, then go ahead, but I will be under the mango tree, all right? Anyone with me? My islanders are like, yes. I don't know what you want to do, but we all want to make it there. And it starts by taking ownership of our kids. It starts by taking ownership of our households. That is what made Abraham Abraham. That's what made him the friend of God. That's what made God trust Abraham with a judgment sentence. Now, I'm going to get a little bit here technical, a little bit Adventist here. We all believe, as Adventists, that there is a pre-Advent investigative judgment happening, right? Yes? I'm in the right crowd here? That's part of our message. That's part of our, that's our inherent in our DNA. That's who we are. Right? Daniel 8:14, that's the whole thing. Revelation 14, verse 7. The hour of his judgment is come. It's here. You know why God is giving, he's giving us that opportunity to be part of that message, because he has hope that you will be faithful in taking ownership of your household. That you're going to take ownership for the household of, for the children of this community. That you will take ownership for the children of not just this church or just that church, but this whole entire area. God is calling us for a mission that is higher than anything. And church, I will tell you that yes, we could send our kids to school such and such or school such and such as that, but at the end goal, we send our kids, or we are called to send our kids to an Adventist Christian school, not just because of educational accolades or whatever it may be, or sports. It's because at the end of the day, there is another life that we have to live on the other side of eternity. And we're invited, we're called to prepare them to enter that life. Yes, we're teaching them about here and now, and yes, how to be productive, how to do righteousness, how to do justly here. Amen, praise God. But there is another life that we need to prepare for. Now, I know also, I can't deny that not many of us have the opportunity to send a kid to an Adventist Christian education. Now, I praise God that the state has decided to provide funding in a different way, and I am so grateful for that. But if it's not possible in your household, if that is your case, because I do know that there's some that are not able to do that, man, take this message and find a way to make it happen in your household, in your context. If it's homeschooling, man, make sure that homeschool is not just teaching the educational aspect and milestones that the kids need to reach, but teach them to actually become Christians. Teach them how it is to walk and talk just like Jesus walked and talked. If it's public school, then look, I went to public school too, and look, yes, do I have some issues? Yes, and so children that come from TCA will have some issues, and homeschool, everyone has issues because of sin. But one thing I can say is that my parents, even though that I had to finish high school in a public school, my parents made sure that my life was still connected to Jesus. We need to take ownership of our households. If we want to be friends of God, we need to take responsibility for what God has given us. He has given us a beautiful task, not an impossible one. Not an impossible one. Because he's not just given just you and your spouse or your parents or aunts and uncles. He's given you this whole entire community. You have five churches that have come together to say, we will support the kids of this community. God has a higher calling, a higher standard for us. And I pray that by God's grace, we will attain to that. Because God is doing something great. Worship team, you can come and join me. But before I have before the worship team, you can start playing and stuff. Before they start singing, I want to ask my teachers to come here. My TCA teachers, anyone involved with the school and their staffing or in leadership, please come and join me up here. Please join me. Please, please, please. Any of my TCA leaders, teachers, staff members. Praise God for you. Sorry, Scotty, I know you're doing double duties here. Elders, any ordained elder that I have here, please come forward. Any ordained elder that I have here, whether here locally or from other churches, please, can you join us, please? Can you meet me up here, elders? Come. Any ordained elder, if you're an ordained elder, please come join me. I need your help. I need your help. This is something that I was sort of planning, but come here, come here. Y'all are going to be my hands and feet. Mark, can you come here real quick? Matt, can you come here? Jim, can you come here? I'm gonna anoint. Marlee, can you come here? I'm gonna anoint. Elders, I don't have enough oil for all of you, but if y'all can just lay hands, and we have some elders that are going to do the anointing. We're gonna anoint every staff member that is here. Church, community, we have a great task at hand, and these individuals have chosen to be in the forefront of that work. I want to, before we pray for them, can we just say thank you to all of them? Applause or... They are doing a fantastic job. And I am very, very proud to say and just admit that I am part of this team, that I work with y'all, and I just love what you guys do, the love that you all have. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, long days at times. I know that it can be stressful. But, man, I am so grateful to have you in this team. But elders, if y'all can just kind of spread and just anoint as you go. Elders, lay hands wherever you can, please.